Now, Southern Australia is enduring its most intense heat wave in years, with experts calling the conditions the worst since the Black Summer bushfires. Dozens of regions across South Australia and Victoria recorded their hottest day in years yesterday, with Port Augusta in South Australia hitting 46.3 degrees and Melbourne's top of 41, the highest temperature in 6 years. The mercury is also starting to rise in New South Wales, with parts of the far southwest tipped to reach almost 46 degrees today and tomorrow. Sydney won't see its hottest temperatures until Saturday. Dr. Sarah Perkins-Kirkpatrick is a leading heatwave expert and a climate scientist at the ANU and joins me now. Welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Good morning. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
What's causing these heat waves?
Look, typically we need a certain weather system called a high pressure system, sometimes known as a blocking high or persistent high. And this is the sort of weather system that we expect calm weather and clear skies. And that's exactly what we've been seeing over the southeast over the last few days. And because of these conditions, the heat can build up as it moves through the atmosphere, and it just kind of stagnates and stays in that particular area until the next weather system comes through and pushes it away. So it's quite typical in that sense. But yes, certainly the temperatures you're reading out earlier that are forecast for certain parts of Australia are the most extreme we've seen in maybe 6 to 10 years in some places.
And how long is this predicted to last?
Look, it depends where you are in Australia. I looked at the forecast just last night for Melbourne, and they do get a little bit of a reprieve today. It's forecast for 30 degrees, but then up again to the low 40s tomorrow. Where I am in Canberra, we're going to see about 5 days of extreme heat. Yet, as for Sydney, it's not going to be as bad, maybe 2 to 3 days. So again, it depends on the location. But in some parts of Australia, it is looking close to a week, particularly in the far southeast in Victoria.
And are these heat waves getting more common?
Oh, absolutely. Look, there's a very, very close link between heat waves and climate change. So as the planet gets warmer, as Australia as a whole gets warmer, we're seeing a marked increase in the frequency, intensity and duration of heat waves. Now, as mentioned earlier, we haven't seen as many heat waves over the last 5 to 6 years. We're seeing the most extreme temperatures in that time period this weekend. But that's because we've had other processes that have kind of dampened that signal a little bit. So we've had a few La Niñas, for example, and a negative Indian Ocean dipole. And these are the sorts of processes that were typically associated with cooler temperatures. But certainly as climate change gets worse and as we permanently reach 1.5 degrees Celsius and even 2 degrees Celsius, we do expect to see these sorts of heat waves, these sorts of events occur much more often and unfortunately be hotter than the temperatures forecast today.
And can we say anything yet about whether we're likely to get another one of these this summer?
Oh, that's a really good question, and that's not something we can really say. We are much more likely, obviously, to see heat waves during summer because, guess what, that's when it's hot. But whether or not we're going to see another one of these events late in January or early in February or even late in February, it's really hard to say. They are much more typical in summer. But it's very difficult to forecast what the temperatures will be a month or two out.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. I'm speaking with Dr. Sarah Perkins-Kirkpatrick about the heat wave hitting Australia's south and east right now. Now, it's true, isn't it, that compared with fires, floods and cyclones, heat waves are actually the most deadly natural hazard. Why is that?
So in Australia, heat waves kill more people than all other natural hazards combined, which is a really stark statistic when you think about it. And that's because we don't really, there's two things going on here. One, unfortunately, it's hard to talk about mortality and natural hazards. But when we think about other natural hazards, the mortality happens quite quickly. It's more instantaneous. Whereas for extreme heat, it's something that happens over 1 to 2 days, at least, sometimes even longer. So it's not something that's an immediate effect. Secondly, very It happens very little where it's the death is recorded due to extreme heat or heat stress or heat stroke. Often it's listed as heart failure or kidney failure or cardiac arrest or some sort of underlying condition that the heat has exacerbated. So that's why it's called the silent killer in another way, that the heat has exacerbated these conditions. It has caused some deaths, particularly those due to heat stress, but it's not really how it's recorded. And there's also that delay in that effect actually happening as well.
So people who might be feeling like they're doing okay, they're managing to get through the heat wave, I guess the recommendation would be, you know, if you know you perhaps have one of these conditions, you know, take advantage of some of these cool spaces being set up in the community, for example, if you're unable to cool your home.
Absolutely. Look, I completely understand for some people it's quite challenging to keep their houses cool, particularly when the heat wave is going on for multiple days and, you know, 5 to 7 days in some locations. So please, yes, make use of any sort of public cooling availability that might be there. And it's not just, you know, it's not just people who have underlying ailments. The elderly, young people, babies, pregnant people, they're all at more of a risk factor and otherwise fit and healthy people as well. But to be honest, even in the conditions that are forecast, those that are fit and healthy, if they're outside, particularly working or doing exercise for a few hours in a row, then they're really susceptible to these dangerous conditions as well. Now, the interesting thing about extreme heat, I just talked about how deadly it is and how insidious it is, but it's also very preventable. So if we can stay cool, if we can be practical, if we can perhaps change our work schedule or our exercise schedule to not be in those conditions at the peak of the day, then a lot of these deaths are extremely preventable as well.
That's very good advice. And I certainly, as the older I get, I just can't exercise in the heat at all.
I went for a run at 5:30 a.m. this morning just because it was much cooler at this time. So I completely agree.
Well, good on you. You've got it done for the day. Dr. Sarah Perkins-Kirkpatrick, thank you so much.
No worries. Thank you.